Before we hear the rest of that scripture and other scriptures for this day, let us turn to God in prayer. Eternal God, in the reading of your scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditation of our hearts, may your word be known. In the faithfulness of our lives, may your will be done. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson, our first reading for this day, comes from the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, beginning with the first verse. You can follow along on page 163 of the Old Testament section of our Pew Bibles. Let us indeed listen, O Highland, and hear these words. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
For our psalm this day, we will have a read in response portion as well as a sung refrain. So let us now share in our psalm. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then shall I be blameless and innocent of great transgressions. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So one of the things that I learned pretty fast after starting to share aloud my call towards being a pastor is how quickly people are to share their favorite Bible printings with you. And there really are so many. You have those heirloom copies, the ones that are like fine leather bound, the ones that are large print with spaces in the margins so you can draw and write notes, ones that are illuminated with pictures, the New International Version, the Revised Standard Version, the New Revised Standard Version, the English Standard Version, the King James, the New King James, the American Standard, the New American Standard, and on and on and on and on. I'm sure you've got your favorite, but I've got a pretty good collection going. One of my family members just had to tell me about her favorite Bible. She said, it's small and it's really easy to carry around. And every word that Jesus said is in red. Yes, a red letter Bible. A red letter New Testament Bible, to be exact. And she was overwhelmed in sharing with me just how special it felt to her that the actual words of Jesus were in her hands and even highlighted like they were speaking directly to her. So she showed me her copy, and I read through the publisher's red letters at the beginning of the little introduction. It said that the red letters were an attempt to focus our eyes on the words that were authentic, the authentic Jesus. And the Psalms were included, but otherwise it was really just the New Testament. The introductory pages also told about how Jesus had come to set us free from the strictures of legalistic Judaism found in the pages of the Old Testament law. And as a way to point even more to the centrality of Jesus, just follow the red stuff. Everything about this conversation collided with my understanding of the Bible. Why are the words of Jesus read considered actual when we know that the Gospels came to be after a lot of oral storytelling and time had passed? What about the stuff Jesus says about connections to Moses and Elijah and David? How do you reconcile that if those stories are just missing? But mostly I wondered, okay, where is the rest of the Bible? I love scripture. I don't hide that well. I love to get lost in the stories of the Israelites wandering in the desert, the boldness of Queen Esther. Wonder, who is this angel that wrestled with Jacob through the night, swept up in the drama of Hagar, confused totally by the line of kings, and laugh out loud when we talk about she-bears and Elijah, weep with Moses' mother, sing and lament along with the psalmist. I treasure the gift of scripture and all that the Spirit inspires as we wrestle and study it together. So I decided to wrestle this week with the great question, should we just pay attention to what Jesus said and forget all the Old Testament stuff? So should we? I'll give you just a moment to form your own starting point. And yes, we're going to read the scripture. Just hold on. Because we are by no means the first to ask these questions. The hearers back in Jesus' time and the church ever since have wondered from time to time, is it even necessary to pay attention to the law, those first five books, and then all the other stories of the prophets and kings and wisdom that was to come? So let's start with Jesus and what Jesus has to say about the Old Testament stuff. So let us turn now to our scripture, our New Testament reading for the day. Reading from Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20. Let's listen now to even more of God's word. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So it's here, in Matthew's gospel, that we start to find some guidance. Jesus speaks in the midst of his great Sermon on the Mount as a man, as a practicing Jew, as a student of the Hebrew scriptures, and starts to address this very question. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, Jesus says. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. It's as if Jesus just knows that his listeners and even us still would wonder if we could do away with the law of a long ago in exchange for these new and better commandments. Matthew's gospel writings are as if to say, keep reading, keep listening. God is still speaking. There is more to this story. And there is. We have this great gift of scripture that goes beyond and sets us up to receive the astonishing stories of the New Testament. We believe as Presbyterians that both the Old and New Testaments are sacred scripture. Our confession of 1967 lifts it up this way. The Old Testament bears witness to God's faithfulness and his covenant with Israel and points the way to the fulfillment of God's purpose in Christ. The Old Testament is indispensable to understanding the New and is not itself fully understood without the New. So if we accept this as true, we need the Old to understand the New. And we need the New to understand the Old too. The writings of the Old tell of God's promises and how over and over and over again God provides. Humans fall short and God upholds those promises anyway. The grace and constant love that God shows God's people in these stories prepares us for the coming Messiah that is foretold in these scriptures. We need the Old Testament because of the countless lessons it holds for us. By observing the lives of these characters in the Old, we find guidance for our own lives. We are encouraged to trust God no matter what. We learn to stand firm in our convictions and to await the rewards of faithfulness. We learn it best to confess sin early and sincerely instead of shifting the blame. We learn not to toy with sin because it will find us out. We learn that our sin has consequences not only for ourselves but for our loved ones, and conversely, that our good faithfulness impacts those around us for generations to come. We are also introduced to God's love and the gift of the law. Our Deuteronomy reading today emphasizes over and over just how important it is that we teach our children and talk about this everywhere we go, keep close and in our homes, that the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. This commandment is that important. No scholarship or context will ever change that central and central tenet of our faith. God is our God, and let us love God with all that we are and all that we have. Jesus even comes to remind us this when asked later on in Matthew's gospel as to which commandment is the most important. We also very, very much need the Old Testament to help us understand the context into which Jesus emerged. Jesus was a Jew living in a Jewish community, learning the Jewish Torah and customs of the Jews. And as he grew and taught and upset some of what the Pharisees and Sadducees interpreted and upheld Jewish law, it helps to know what they were. Without this Old Testament understanding, we would not understand the ways the Pharisees had warped God's law by adding their own traditions to it, or why Jesus was so upset when he cleaned out the temple, or where Jesus got the words that he used in so many of his replies. If we only had the new, we would come to the Gospels and not really know why the Jews were looking for a Messiah. We would not understand why this Messiah was coming or was needed, as we can look back into Isaiah and see. And we would not have been able to identify Jesus of Nazareth as Messiah through the many detailed prophecies that were given concerning him, like those found in Micah. His manner of death, his resurrection, detailed in the Psalms, and many other more details of his ministry, also from Isaiah, we would miss the themes of sin and rebellion scattered across all of the Old in the many ways that God responds to prepare us to understand more of why Jesus coming in this particular way, at this particular time, meant so much. We would not understand Jesus as well as we do without the Old Testament. As we read and reread the Old, what Jesus has accomplished on our behalf will become more understandable. I guess it's a little bit like Star Wars. We have episodes 4, 5, and 6. Those are the movies that, right, they came out first. And we can kind of get the gist of what's happening with Vader and Luke and the Jedi and the Empire. But there's so much more to the story until the prequels came out. Okay, that's a terrible example because those were awful movies. Okay, so let's try this. It's like starting your new book at the end. Let's just go ahead and skip to those last couple chapters because we just want to get to the point, right? I don't want to like wade through all the other pages. But what we would experience is we're missing out on all that the author has written to form and support and challenge the characters along their journey. So maybe it's a little bit like Lord of the Rings. We know the ring is going to get destroyed, spoiler. But we've got to like get through like, what, a couple thousand pages to get there to that great moment? I guess it's kind of in a similar way that the New Testament is like the great moment of the Bible. It's the fulfillment of the Old. The Old and New Testaments work together to give us a more whole picture of who God is and who we are and what God does with God's people when they rebel or fall short. The Old forms a backdrop against which we can understand the New Testament and the work and fulfillment of God's great plans, purposes, and promises. From these writings of scriptures, we have more hope as we live into God's calling in these days. The Old Testament allows us to learn how to love and serve God as it reveals the law and more about God's character. It shows through repeatedly fulfilling prophecy why the Bible is unique, authoritative, and unparalleled. For it alone demonstrates that it is what it claims to be, the inspired word of God. This inspired word, old and new together, offers us a gift. A gift of a much bigger story, of which this is only a small part. And it's God's story of love, hope, promise, forgiveness, reconciliation, and joy. As God's people, let us continue to approach this gift of Scripture, longing to know more, offering our fears, our doubts, our wonderings, our struggles, and our joy, trusting the Spirit who is present and waiting and ready to inspire us anew. For God's story continues and lives in us. Thanks be to God.